Thank you for listening to the Renovate Life Church of God's broadcast. Here's today's message from our pastor, James Dimmel.
When the wound begins to heal, there's a scar there. When you once again begin to have a scar, things begin to change. Because now that you have a scar, there's no pain. You can see what has happened to you. You remember the story of what has happened to you, but now you can talk about it because it's in the past. You hearing me? Okay. People will never be able to heal until they feel safe in the house. We've got to show the love of God so much that people feel okay with letting go. We've got to be a refuge for the broken. An ICU for the lost, weak and weary. John 8:2. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in the adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, this is a mark against the church. The church just happened to be on that day a safe place only because a safe person was there. The place that is supposed to be the most holy, the most safe, the most blessed, the most spiritual was a place of devastation, destruction, and evil. But God just happened to be there. Jesus just happened to be there. If Jesus had not been in that location on that day, that woman would have faced certain death. Amen? Rightly so. See, there's still some people in the house that believe that. Right now, right as I talk to you. They should have made her grave right there. I know some of you are thinking that. But to the master, to the teacher, they're valuable even as a sinner. I read to you this morning that he said we want to bring them all together. The sheep that don't understand the fold. I want to bring them in. Okay. Now watch. To the average person, you may not be valuable because they don't know you. But to the right person, you have more value than what you realize. And she just happened to walk into the place where she had great value. Even though she had great sin. You may not think I have any value. I may not think you have any value because I don't have any stock in your life. You don't have any stock in my life. But see, Jesus, he built her. He made her. He created her. He put her emotion in her. Everything that she was, he knew because he created what she was, who she was, and what she would be. And so to him, she had great value. To the Pharisees, they didn't care. Why? Because all they wanted to do was pimp out the gospel. But to him, she had great value. And he wanted to make sure that he made the right statement. The King of Glory wanted to make the right statement among those people. To express the love, the care, and the admiration that he had for her. Now you think about that. Because there are all kinds of scriptures that said, we are not worthy. No, not one. But he loved her anyway. She was an adulterer found in the act of fornication, but he loved her anyway. Listen, there was people standing there, and he said, just hang on a minute. You, without sin, you cast the first stone. And the elders, they begin to think, well, you know, I've got sins, but he blessed me anyway. I've got problems, and I've got issues aplenty, but he took care of me anyway. It's an important understanding that we've got to get, because if we are going to be a place of safety, if we're going to be a house of refuge, if we are going to have a renovate life over the door, we have got to allow the lost, the broken, the weak, the weary, and the stray walk through the door to renovate their life. It's to make something that is old look new again. But here's the thing. Once you make something that is old look new again, it can never go back to what it used to be. You following me yet? Lord, help me. I know there are people in the room who are one way here and another way home. I know some of you have been hurt by other churches. I want to address the elephant in the room. God sent me here to tell you this evening that you may have been hurt by other churches. And I can't say that you won't get hurt here. But what I will tell you is, if you'll stay with us and you'll allow God to touch you and transform you, we will work through it together. Well, Pastor, how do you know? Because we work from a different atmosphere than other places and other churches. And we want to minister to those people that no one will minister to. As a matter of fact, if you take the broken, if you take the lost, if you take the people that no one wants at their church, God will send you the people that everybody's looking for. And you will rise up even when you didn't mean to. So, I know there are people in the room that criticize every service that we have all the way home. Please don't silence the whole church for an attitude of a few. The temple was a place supposedly of refuge, but it was full of people ready to stone this woman. And one man stepped up and stopped it all. You hearing me? Are you able in the midst of the crowd to step up when it's not right, and step up when you know it's wrong, and step up when the crowd, when you're going against the flow of the crowd? Are you able to stand? Listen, we see videos all over. I don't know if you've looked at any videos up or saw them on TV, but you see now where people will get beat up and they'll get their purse stolen or whatever, and there are thousands of people videoing it. Nobody helps. Right? Everybody's afraid to get involved. Well, you got involved when you started taking that video. Well, I wanted to help them. Well, you didn't. See, people don't take you at gunpoint anymore. They just walk up and take whatever they want because they know nobody's going to help you. Listen, I've gotten some knockdown dragouts with people because I refuse to allow it to happen. And you, as a child of God, should refuse to allow it to happen. And God will take care of you for it. It's going to get worse as we go. I don't want to preach the gospel from an angry or judgmental heart. I want you to believe that God can heal you and believe that God can touch you. I want you to believe in the safety of God's house. I want you to believe in the security of God's house. The safety and security of a house is only as good as the people that are in the house. You don't have to be perfect to worship here. I believe in worship. Worship is the beginning of the washing in the house. Safety demands a washing. Jesus wants to bathe you in protection. And listen, I don't care what happened to you when you came through those doors. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care how dirty or messed up that you are. Why do you think that we begin the church service with worship? Because there's some of us that come in here dirty and messed up and unclean and unholy and unrighteous and sinners. And we need the power of God to touch us and watch over us. And the worship of God begins to wash over you and make you clean. Don't just come on Sunday and be washed by the Word or washed by the worship. Be washed by the worship and washed by the word every day. Let it play through your heart and through your mind. Get it in your soul. Begin to read and begin to pray and spend time with Him. And holiness and righteousness will follow you everywhere you go. Lord, help me. Worship is to prepare you for the presence. We're not perfect people here. We're just forgiven people. Are you forgiven today? Three of you are. John 8 and 10. I'm almost done. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He didn't say, "I don't condemn you. Do whatever you want." He said, "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." Jesus is saying what again? Go. He will always tell you to go. What He wants you to do is go and tell your testimony. Let me tell you how this testimony went. Something like this. For all you men that don't believe women in the house have a testimony. The testimony went like this. I was caught in the act of adultery. I was caught in the act of fornication. I was in the worst place that anybody could ever find me. Not only the worst place, but the most embarrassing place. And they drug me out by the hair of my head. And I should have been put to death because the law stated I should have been put to death. But there happened to be a man there, and this man was way different than every other man that I saw. The way that he talked was a secure voice. The way that he began to express himself was a place of security and safety. And I was able to say, "Lord, I don't know how to get out of this. I didn't want to be this, but I ended up being this, and I don't know how to get out of this." And all of a sudden, he began to speak to me and said, "Where are your accusers? Where are the naysayers? Where are the people that want to keep you in the act? I'm here today to tell you that you have been set free. Go and sin no more." I'm going to mess up your theology again. It never says that she prayed a repentant prayer, but she was changed from that moment on. At some point she had to pray something. At some point she had to be changed. We want to label our prayer the same way that somebody else's prayers, but God, He works in mysterious ways. He works in ways that we don't understand. He begins to express to us understanding that we did not have, and it may not be like hers or his or yours. Pray a prayer. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in Christianity. Pray a prayer and you're saved. Then we say at the end of church services, "Raise your hand if you got saved." And 9 people were like, "Never come back." When we say, "Well, praise His holy name, 9 people got saved today." You never see them in the house of God anymore. You go to the gas station and their lives are turned upside down and they don't know who you are. You know what the problem is because we told them that they were saved. The only person that can tell you that you're saved is the Savior of the world. People got to feel safe enough in the house of God to let their guard down. Without the presence of truth, I'm talking about trust, love, and hope, we'll never be able to do the job that Jesus has required us to do. Jared, would you come to the piano? The last thing I want to tell you is that Jesus gave her a chance to speak. Hurting people need a chance to speak. They need a chance to tell their story. See, we want to shut them up. Because if an adulterer comes in the house, we can't have them talking in front of the camera. It makes us look bad. Now they don't come. We can't have an alcoholic sitting in front of the camera. It makes us look bad. Turn the camera this way because the prostitute's sitting over there. We can't have her in the angle. It makes us look bad. But Jesus came for the prostitute. Maybe one of you were a prostitute. Jesus came for the alcoholic. Maybe you were an alcoholic. Do you know why we don't drink in the house and why the Bible talks about drinking? It's because you could wreck someone's world that was an alcoholic by thinking it's okay and walking around like it's okay. It's not okay. You are to live as holy and acceptable. That's what the Word of God says. That's not popular. Nobody likes it. I'm going to get emails. I'm done giving you my email. Find somebody else's. They keep the pain inside. It only turns to condemnation. I'll never be good enough. Why would I go to church? I'll never be good enough. Why would I attend a place that I can never be good enough? Nobody would do that. Why do you think churches all across America are emptying out? Because they're never good enough. Newsflash. The Bible says none of us are worthy. And I love the way he says it. He says, no, not one. Condemnation turns into self-affliction. The sin not only hurts them spiritually, but it hurts them physically. This causes them a change in self-esteem. I should not continue, or I should just continue doing what I've always done. See, when Jesus begins to speak, no matter what you've done or no matter how you feel about what you've done, he begins to change the atmosphere. He begins to put hope in a place that there's no hope. He begins to say, listen, you're a failure, you're a sinner. But he doesn't say it like we say it. Because no matter what we do, we always say it from a condemning fashion. You know why? Because all we know is condemnation. But when Jesus speaks, he speaks from a place of safety, security, love, and peace. That's why he has to speak into your life. I can speak, I can declare, I can give the word of God, but it has to be God that comes down. No man can come to the Father except by what? Me, Jesus Christ. You following what I'm saying? Jesus then gives her a chance to repent. And this repentance does not look like your repentance. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Romans 10:9, listen. Now, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For if the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus didn't try to fix her. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? You're going against everything that I've ever been taught. No. He didn't try to fix her because he knew if he tried to fix her his way, that she would never be right. It's easier to let someone fail and learn than to do it for them. He expressed that right here. Sometimes part of the healing process is knowing that people have to change on their own. They have to do it. You have to do it. I can't do it for you. Listen, we have a lot of people in the house that have been drug addicts and things. And they said, as I talked to them, they say, everybody tried to help me. But nobody could help me until I wanted to do it on my own, until I learned how to do it on my own. And the only way that I could do it is with Jesus Christ. Fixing the problem for them instead of showing them how to do it often hurts the person worse than helping them. The last thing I want to tell you, as I want you to stand, finally, Jesus gave her hope that there's life beyond failure. Failure is not final unless you refuse to try again. If we don't open the doors to the lost, the broken, the weak, the weary, the stray, and it's time. There's never been a better time. We're silencing ourselves. We're silencing the shepherd. And we are silenced as lambs. Pastor, what are you saying? We've got to get outside these four walls. We've got to quit thinking that it's my four and no more. We've got to reach the lost. We are, church, more now than ever before. I can't give you an understanding of how passionate I am about this. It is on my mind every moment of every day. Do you know that sometimes I stop to get a Take 5 Reese's candy bar in the store and I look over at someone. And I don't know if they're saved or not, but I think, what if they're not? And I didn't say something. What if they're not, and I don't declare the word of Jesus Christ? What if they're not? I am a place of safety for them because I know Him. I house the light of the world. I am a reflecting surface of who Jesus Christ is. What if I don't say anything? Did I conduct myself in a right manner? Sometimes I don't. I went to get a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich the other day. I walked in there and they didn't have any, and I started to walk out, and the lady said, "What do you want?" I said, "Bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. That's how I keep my tiny, dainty figure." She said, "Okay." And she makes me a sandwich. I pay $4 for it. It's highway robbery. And I go to my car. I just pumped gas. I sat down in the car. And I open it. And it has two little squares. Now, I don't mean a piece. I mean, it has two little squares on it. It has lots of cheese, has lots of egg, but there's no bacon. I paid $4 for an egg and cheese sandwich. And I think I'm going to pull out. I'm not going to say anything. I pulled my car 3 feet. So mad. I fumbled the sandwich back together, and I walked into the store. And I had full, God knows my heart, I was going to let her have it with both barrels. I wanted to just tell her what I thought. If you can't do your job, then you need to go down the street to McDonald's. No, I'm kidding. You ever been there? And I just shoved it over there and said, I won't eat this. You know why? Because people are going to say, "Psh, that's the pastor. It's the pastor." And I'm not saying I get it right every time, because I will tell you what I think. But let me tell you what happens. We mar our testimony. And as soon as I do it, I know I have. I know I have. I'm talking to you from a place of transparency. Because as soon as I let the fire inside of me get a hold of me, the anger inside of me, as soon as I let it out, I'm at a repentant place right then because I know what I've done. Do you ever think that way? We've got to begin to let the washing of the water of the word change our outward response to people. Do you ever just get sick of people being the way that they are? Jesus doesn't. You think about that. Today, this evening, I want you to think about one thing. God, have I been a safe place? Have I been a holy shoulder for people to cry on? Have I been a place of refuge? I'm not talking about the church, because the church should be. The church is going to be. As long as I am the shepherd here, the church will be. But it is only as good as the people in the house. Listen, church, I want the prostitute to sit right next to the college professor. I want the sheriff to sit right next to the person that has broken the law. And I want the hillbilly to sit right next to the most educated person in the room. And I want us all to worship together. And as long as Jesus Christ is first and foremost, everybody can worship together in one place. We can praise Him. We can lift Him up. We can cry out to Him. We can get our scars and our wounds fixed and transformed. Listen, people won't recognize you if you really get a hold of Him. You won't be the same. Am I a place of safety? Lord, He made you a place of refuge as a Christian, but are you really? Ask yourself that question.
Thank you for joining us today. If this message has uplifted you, we would love to hear your story. Go to www.renovatelifecog.com and click contact. Your testimonies are a blessing to us throughout the week. Renovate Life is a place of healing for the lost, the broken, the weak, weary, and stray.